Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode 43 of the Going Deeper podcast. My name is JD and I'll be your host for today. Along with me as we begin the discussion of a new lesson series here at GNG are Jeff.
Good morning, everybody.
And Adam.
Good morning.
And we started over this weekend a brand new lesson series called Going Responsibly or Go Responsibly here at GNG. And really the focus of this lesson series is for us to be responsible for ourselves and to avoid the trap of entitlement. And so, Dad, why don't you give us just a little rundown on the series and where we're headed and what's going on?
Well, the series really was born out of what we see going on in our culture at this point in time. There's a lot of discussion in the news and social commentators about the entitlement mentality that seems to be gripping our culture. And so we decided to kind of just sit back and have a look at what the Bible has to say about it and try to work our way through biblical principles that bear on this issue. And so yesterday was really kind of a setup lesson, I guess you could say, where we kind of introduced the topic and just some general thoughts on that. And then beginning next week, JD's actually going to be teaching next Sunday, and he's going to drill down a little bit more on really the mindset about which we need to approach life if we're going to really if we're going to live above an entitlement mentality. And so that lesson is really, it's entitled The Hard Way. And, you know, that's one of those things that each one of us has to choose is to do the right thing, even when it's hard. And, he's going to talk about that. And then the last week we're going to talk about making the mental shift from I deserve, which is really the bottom line of an entitlement mentality, to I'm responsible, which is the idea that's presented in Scripture, is that we're responsible for our lives, we're responsible for our choices, and we need to step up and take responsibility for our actions.
Now, this series is not only based out of Scripture definitively, but also you've drawn a lot of the concepts for this particular series from a book called The Entitlement Cure. Can you talk just a little bit about that book and how you kind of came in contact with that?
Okay, that book was written by a Christian psychologist by the name of John Townsend, and I was able to, I found the book really just because last year when we were creating the lesson series, this issue came up, and I've been familiar with his work in other areas, and so I grabbed this book up, and it's just been a real, very enlightening, especially, I think, for anybody in our church family or beyond who has children or grandchildren or is involved with young people that they can influence. Because this entitlement mentality really seems, it's prevalent in every age, but it really seems to be impacting our youth. And so I think it's very, very important for parents and grandparents to get a hold of this.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually had a number of books available for purchase yesterday, and we ran out after first service. In fact, I had one person come up to me after first service and said, "Well, we didn't get a book, and we feel entitled to one. So, how can we get the book that we are entitled to?"
Well, that person is not going to get a book because I don't want to foster an entitlement mentality. So that person has to buy their own. Good luck finding that on Amazon. But for everybody else, we do have another 50 copies
coming in
okay. This week.
And so those will be earmarked for the entitled second service class. Yes. Is that how? So heads up, if you want another book, you better come to first service, apparently, at GNG. So
they're going fast.
Yes. So So as we jump in to this discussion, was there anything that you felt like you kind of had to leave out or leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak, or any questions that you felt like came out of this material that you'd like to cover in more depth?
Well, I felt like point number two, what we were going through this week was, what is it that produces an entitlement mentality? And we actually worked our way through the story of the fall found in Genesis 3. And one of the aspects of what produces an entitlement mentality is expectations that exceed my current ability. And I probably should have spent a little bit more time on this, because this is kind of a nuanced idea that you need to be careful with. But the idea is that when we have expectations that exceed our abilities, and this is what you see with Adam and Eve. You know, they're promised by the serpent, the evil one, that they can be like God. Well, that's an expectation. If you actually think you can be like God, your expectations exceed reality. Right. And yet they were willing to take the risk in order for that to occur. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no way that's going to occur. Mm-hmm. They were never going to be like God, no matter what their expectations were. And I think sometimes we can have similar expectations. They're expectations that are beyond our capability. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be very careful, especially like parents and grandparents, that we don't create expectations for our children that are really beyond the pale. I get concerned when I see parents telling kids, you can be anything you want. All you have to do is believe in yourself. That's a theme that's coming through so strong in our culture with kids today. Constant thing, yeah. And what we do is we set up our children for unrealistic expectations, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, is it important to be encouraging and to encourage kids to fulfill their potential? Of course. Okay, but I think at the same time, you do have to be realistic about that. I used the example which we seem to use a lot around here about the idea that Shaquille O'Neal's never going to ride in the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
Right. I mean, there are physical limitations he has that he's not going to ever be able to do that.
Right.
No matter how much he tries, no matter how much he believes, no matter how much he would train.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's beyond reality. And I think there's this fine line you have to be very careful about. You have to encourage people to achieve their max. But by the same token, you have to be realistic about what their max is. I'll just give you an example. I remember when I was growing up, my dream was to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's what I wanted to do. And I started lifting weights in seventh grade. Anytime I could play football, I played. I played all the way through junior high and high school. I loved football. I wanted to be a Buckeye. At 5'8", 135 as a senior, mm-hmm. you will not play for the Buckeyes.
Right.
I mean, it's over. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's okay to be small in high school as long as you're fast. But to be small and not that fast is death,
right,
in football. And at some point, I had to come to the realization that the best I'm ever going to be able to do is to play D3. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, I'm not D1. I'm not D2. And at some point, my senior year, it occurred to me that I'm probably not going to play much in D3. I'm just not. And as hard as that dream was to give up, and I'll be honest with you, for a decade after I graduated from high school, I had a dream every September that I was putting the uniform on. Mm. I didn't want to give it up. In fact, today, if I could play football today, I'd suit up. Mm. I would. I loved it. I still love it. But that dream's over. Mm. Because there's an end to that, because it's not realistic anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can't become comfortable, Clint Eastwood said in one of the Dirty Harry movies, a man's got to know his limitations. And I think if you can't come to grips with your limitations, you will always be miserable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's reality.
One thing, as you were going through that point, I thoroughly appreciated and agreed with that point. I think that expectations that go beyond our abilities, and when we expect and demand that which is beyond our abilities, it does create that entitlement mindset. And,
oh, man.
And you see it a lot of times in sports. Right now, I mean, there's a big contract issue with a player on just about every team, right? That, you know, feels like they should be the highest paid person at their position. Anytime somebody signs a new contract, well, the next big free agent at that position that comes up wants to be paid a little bit more than the guy before. And,
right.
You know, there can only be one best quarterback in the NFL. There can only be one best running back in the NFL. And the reality is you watch these guys, they just stack, they stack dollars on top of each other just to say they're the highest paid guy at X, Y, or Z position. Adam, I know you're a big follower of sports. Mm-hmm. You see some of that stuff frequently as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just still trying to picture that horse with Shaquille O'Neal on its back. Can you, like, that's just
have to be a Clydesdale.
I feel terrible for that horse. It just sink in the mud when they took off. Like, my goodness. I mean, we're seeing it right now to pinpoint a specific example is Le'Veon Bell, right?
Right.
Like, and you know what was funny is just recently somebody posted out there, brought back a tweet from Le'Veon Bell from like 2013 or something like that, where basically Le'Veon Bell was saying that anyone who would be willing to sit out this game doesn't truly love the game or something like that. And now he sat out, what, nine games or something like that this year. And it's all because of that. He feels entitled, feels like he's due his diligence or his money, you know, and what's happened is he's let his team down. I can't imagine. You know, the part about entitlement that I think is also crushing to us is that it's also crushing to those around us. Mm-hmm. Sports is the easiest example to show that as is that when he walks into that locker room, you know, those guys understand it. They want their money too. But at the same time, at this point, he's bailed on them for nine games. How's he going to be received?
Right.
And I mean, that's why they've been talking about trade talks. I mean, that's past now, but still it damages those around us. It crushes us, and we have to consider that.
Well, and one of the, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I was thinking about in my mind as you were going through that lesson, specifically that point, Dad, is that there's in my mind is an extension on to that. It's not only when our expectations exceed our ability, but in team games or team ministries or team churches or team families, so to speak, when you think in terms of you as a part of a group as opposed to just yourself, the reality is that sometimes our expectations can also exceed our attitude.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, you know, you take a contract situation with a football team, you know, you've got a player that feels like they're due more money, and they want more money, and they're not going to play if they don't get more money. Now, all of a sudden, it affects other people. It affects the talent and the caliber and the winning possibilities of that particular team.
Sure.
I know in some of my experiences with you know, ministry and life, I've bumped up against people whose talent would take them a lot farther than their attitude will allow.
Yeah, because when they come to the family or a team or a business or a church with that kind of entitlement mentality,
right,
it creates division within the group.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody knows you're not pulling your weight,
right?
Okay, and so what I talked about yesterday was the impact of entitlement on those around you. And the first impact of that is alienation. People feel separated from you because,
right,
for you, it's about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about the family or the team or the ministry or the church or the business. It's about me and what do I get out of this? And when you're focused on yourself, the people around you feel alienated. That's mm-hmm. automatic. A lot of times they feel anger because they know on the team example you're using, all those other players know that it's for you. It's about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about the team. And so, you know, if I'm on that team, I'm angry about that because you know, I expect to go out there and leave it all on the field for the team because I know I can't win without everybody else.
Right.
But you don't seem to have that attitude, and that bugs me. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but at some point, you know, it gets to that point of a feeling of helplessness or hopelessness, which is obviously where his team's at because they're talking about trading him.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. And when you think about it, that ends up being what you're left with, because if that person does come back into the team, all the other players are thinking, wait a minute, we've been working since summer two-a-days. Mm-hmm. This cat's been sitting at home. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to walk back in and just act like nothing happened? Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's going to be some payback in practice for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Seriously. Yeah. You know, somebody's going to take a shot at him.
Right. Yeah, Cam Hayward, and he's lucky Ryan Shazier's not there anymore. get his head ripped off a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, that I think is one of those things for us to recognize, because at times we can be phenomenally talented and a cancer to the team, to the point that those around us won't let us get to the place where we can truly express our abilities, because it's not worth it to the rest of the team to have to deal with you.
Right.
You know, and so to some degree or another, that's an important reminder too, because our ability is often a great crutch for us. We can lean on it to the detriment of our team first attitude, or our ministry first attitude, or our church first attitude, or our family first attitude, and our talent can be such that we rely on that as opposed to being the kind of person that comes at it with others in mind first, a servant-hearted attitude. And I think that often limits our ability to do what we can do, and limits the opportunities that we have as well.
Sure. I mean, you think about some of your great players. Like an Isaac Bruce or a Jerry Rice. These people were incredibly talented, but what really set them apart was the humility that they brought to the game. Mm-hmm. Because for them, even though they were massively talented individuals, you never heard about them being problems in the locker room or big long holdouts, any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They came to the game. They were team first people. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you have that attitude, that it's what's important is the overall goal that we have together, whether it's in a family or a church or whatever. I mean, the sky is the limit on what can be achieved. But when you have somebody in your ministry or your family who feels entitled, it quells the ability of that unit to really reach its potential. It just does.
Mm-hmm. I think that type of entitlement kind of comes out of arrogance, right? Like, they believe that they are better at whatever the given subject is than those around them, which creates that entitlement. And so I think it even kind of takes you a step of like, okay, how do I show more respect towards others at that point? Like, not just simply looking at myself and what I deserve and how good I think I am, but how do I look at others and show them respect and try to encourage them and bring them up and even help them get better in the area? Mm-hmm. But yeah, to me, it's just like it's the arrogance in that thought process.
Mm. It's that sense of when the way we've we've defined entitlement for this lesson series is this attitude that I am exempt from responsibility and I am owed special treatment. And when you deal with that kind of an attitude out of somebody in your family or on your ministry team or whatever, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a problem from the outset, and until they change that attitude, it will always be a problem.
Right.
You know, I think about the band, and I think about the people that have been as willing to sing in the choir or to be a backup singer as they are to be a lead singer. It's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can build a band on people like that, mm-hmm. but the people that aren't interested, if they're not singing lead, doesn't work. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and certainly in any area of ministry or any area of service or, you know, in a family or a church, you know, these kinds of attitudes limit our ability to accomplish the things that we could do with what God has given us, mm-hmm. because for some reason or another, we won't allow ourselves to play that role. I see that a lot of times when you're talking about, you know, ministries and getting people involved in certain situations. There are some folks that struggle with not having a different gift than the one that they have, or a different ability or a different status. And sometimes that prevents us from doing the things that we could otherwise do. Mm-hmm. And so in effect, we not only lose out on not getting to be the person we have self-aggrandized ourselves into in our minds, we also miss out on the opportunity to be the person we have the capacity to be. Mm-hmm. You know, because we can't all be Jerry Rice or Tom Brady or you know, any such individual, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers, and we can't all be, you know, Rick Warrens and, you know, I mean, you name it. There are people out there that God has uniquely gifted to be in NFL stadiums, in NBA locker rooms, in churches of 20,000 people, and, you know, you the list can go on. In government, the list could go on and on.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
There are certain people that God has uniquely blessed, and no, the answer is most of us could not go do that if we wanted to. that's just reality. Like, most of us aren't built for that. But we can play a role if we're willing to be humble enough to accept whatever role it is that God has given us as such.
Mm-hmm. There's an old saying, bloom where you're planted.
Right.
And I think if each of us does that, if we bloom where God has planted us with the gifts he's given us, then there's no telling what he might do with that.
Right.
Okay. That's up to him. But as long as you're open and willing to follow him, he'll do what he has called you to do.
Do you think that in some ways our culture really drives entitlement because of the things that we put on TV? So let me give you an example, right? So we see these talent shows all over the place. You know, The Voice, America's Got Talent, you know, American Idol. Like, you see all these things, right? And you can literally be famous largely overnight based on a cool moment on a stage somewhere in New York or LA or something like that. And everybody has this, and this culture where we aggrandize this stuff has the ability, I think, to create in us, number one, a sense, I could go do that. Number two, that's really what's good in life. Like, for example, like that's the good life, right? It creates in us this vision of a life that's what we should want. We should all want to go do that. We should all want to have that. We should all want that experience. We should all be on stage. We should all be, you know, I feel like our culture really pushes things that make that sound like the only way to really live life.
Well, and if you think about it, if you listen to the contestants on those shows when they interview them, and they talk about how being on that show is the greatest thing that's ever happened to them,
right?
And I'm sitting there, And I'm thinking, wow, that's sad.
Right.
Okay, because you're going to get what I can't remember who the commentator, social commentator was that made this statement that in America everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how sad that is. 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
Okay, think about 15 minutes from now, it's over. Mm-hmm. How many of those contestants on those shows have you seen a year later?
Right.
Oh, yeah, they got a recording contract and their record went nowhere.
Right.
And now they're back at their house on Main Street.
Right.
In some forgotten town in the middle of nowhere. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all? I mean, is that the best your life has to offer?
Right.
I don't think so. I sure hope not.
Right. Right. Yeah, I guess I think we can allow ourselves to be duped into believing that that's what life should look like and we deserve it. And that's not necessarily what God may have called us to individually or the life that we live is not really for our glory. And that was one of the original elements of the sin of the fall. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, I want to be like God. I want to be the one calling the shots. I want to be the one that makes a decision about what's good and what's bad. And in that, you know, we can really go down a dark road that takes us to some really bad places.
You know, I think about Adam and Eve and the promise. You can have the knowledge of good and evil. And they didn't grasp the fact that they couldn't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. You that exceeds your expectations. Don't go there. Because
mm-hmm.
you'll come out of it in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Yeah. Before I even came in here, I was talking to my brother a little bit ago. And his wife works at Ohio State. She's like she's high up in the John Glenn College or whatever business. Mm-hmm. And she's head of their HR for that college. And so she does all the hiring and firing and all that kind of stuff and even counseling and everything. And they just hired somebody recently that, they said was extremely intelligent, had a great resume, like as far as like what they did through interning throughout college, just graduated college. And so they brought her on, to try out basically to for this position type thing, give her a shot as her first real job out of college or whatever. And, apparently was doing awesome. And then they went on vacation, my brother and his wife, and she started getting messages all week from her. And the messages were saying that she can't work this many hours, that it's just too much, and that it's tearing her relationship up with her boyfriend and all this stuff. And that she needed to work less than 8 hours a day. in order to maintain their relationship with her boyfriend or something like that. And then they came back and they apparently had these long talks, and apparently she was furious that they wouldn't let her work less than 8 hours a day, you know, or whatever. And, on a regular basis anyways, type thing. You know, one of the things that my brother said, that Andrea is my sister-in-law's name, but talks about often, is that what they see out of the students is that, number one, is they've always had everything you can possibly imagine at their fingertips. The internet, it gives you all knowledge right at your fingertips. Video games, it gives you any fantasy that you want right at your fingertips. And so everything's always been right there. And so then when they get out into the real world, it's a real struggle to realize that I can't simply just get what I want because everything's always been at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's figuring out a way to internet and cable and even video games, all these things can be good and fun things, and it can be good for us in ways, but it's figuring out a way to not only manage it for ourselves, but manage it for our families so that it doesn't become so it doesn't dictate our expectations, if that makes sense. We have to be able to place limitations on those things, because I think those are some of the leading causes that is driving this mentality, is that all of those things offer everything we want right at our fingertips.
Right.
Anyways.
It's instant gratification.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that's a pretty helpful story to think about, because, you know, oftentimes, you know, we do want to set our own standards. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality that we have to understand, that there are occasionally standards that are imposed upon us, and that's just something we have to get and learn how to live with. I mean, the fact is, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit this coming Sunday, but the reality is you didn't make the world, and so you don't decide what rules it works mm-hmm. on. And that's something that we struggle with. We really do. Yep. We really do. We fight that urge to want to make the world and make God and make our lives in our image. And there's about 7 billion people running around on the planet that all feel like they should be able to do that. and it doesn't work well when everybody thinks they get to be their own little God.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if this young woman wants to work less than 8 hours a day, don't ever start your own business.
Yeah.
You'll work a whole lot more than that.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, you're applying, or you accepted a position at a major university, you know, like, what did you expect coming
right.
into that?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, I'm sure they worked with her, like, okay, yeah, if you need some time off or you need a few hours here and there, I'm sure they worked with her, you know, like, but to expect less than like a full time, but get paid full time, like, what? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I had another friend of mine who works at a major corporation, and he said when they're hiring now, a lot of these kids, especially coming out of college, are demanding six-figure incomes and 2 weeks of paid vacation right out of the chute.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I hope they never start a business either, because then you figure out that when you go on vacation, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Right. Well, guys, we hope this has been insightful for you and helpful to you as you are working through the application of the lesson of this past Sunday to your life and thinking about how it can impact you. This coming Saturday, we have an event in Hillsborough for the Hillsborough Not As Usual project. It's coming up on November 17th. We'll be doing some leaf raking in the Ward 3 area. If you have the opportunity to come out and be a part of that, we'd love to have you. And as always, we're getting ready. We're getting ready for the Christmas season here at GNG. Getting ready to come into that over the next several weeks, and we have our Christmas Eve services as well as a Christmas baptism coming up in the month of December. Dad, you want to give us a heads up on some of the things that are up ahead of us?
Yeah, I would really encourage parents and grandparents to participate in Hillsborough Not As Usual with the children that are in your care. Because I really think this is a great way to teach them. It's a teaching moment about giving back to your community and helping people. And so I think that's a huge thing. Then on December the 9th, we have the baptism celebration that's coming up. And if anybody's interested in being a part of that, all you got to do is let us know, either on the back of your communication card, or you can call the church office and we'll set you up for a baptism interview. And then we have two Christmas Eve services. I believe those are going to be scheduled at 3 and 5, I think it is, this year. And those are always huge events for us, and typically very, very well attended. And they're always geared for you to invite your unchurched friends to come with you. So we hope you'll participate in those events.
Guys, if you have any questions for us or things you'd like us to cover in the Going Deeper podcast, we'd love to do that. You can send those to us via email at info@goodnewsgathering.org, or you can write them on a communication card and drop them in the container in the back of the auditorium on Sunday as you take off after church. We love to answer your questions and to get involved in that. So if you have any, please don't hesitate to get those to us. We hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you soon. Take care, and thanks.
Take care. Have a great week.
Have a good one.